Today is January the 20th, 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm in Arcadia, Florida. This is for the Bureau of Florida Folklife Program's Traditional Arts Exhibit. I thought on the other side that this side was already recorded on, but obviously it is not. So I'm going to use this side of this particular tape, which is number 5 from yesterday, to continue my conversations today with Howard Melton in his collection of photographs and newspapers on the history of Arcadia. Now, you made crates like this,
yes.
The orange crates and stuff?
I didn't personally do them, but we did it right on the platform where we packed fruit, and that's what we used to pick oranges in, load trucks with. Mm-hmm. Now they use bigger.
Yeah, the goats. Who used to make these?
Well, I would suppose most every major fruit shipper made their own. Mm-hmm. They had their machine. It was hand operated, so you know it wasn't mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
It was hand operated.
Okay.
And they would tack these sides on, and the tops on, and then they'd strap it. They had a machine that they would just strap it around it, and it was. Dr. Phillips is up there, I know, Orlando. But all your major fresh fruit shippers did it because it was too expensive to buy them. Now, that's a Billy Bowlegs right there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that picture.
Well, here's the other thing. When I do these over here, if you want me to copy this, I will. It's going to look like it's copied out of that thing you're trying to say. But
yeah, well, that...
Anything black or white that you want. Now, see, this one we're talking about, you know, the cow whips and stuff, mm-hmm. and then these early things,
right.
And quilts, and...
Well, I'm glad to see that it is being preserved. The there's a photographer here in town that makes his own bullets, too. He's a pistol expert. There's numbers of people around who makes their own bullets. I guess that's not too out of date. Yeah, they do it just as a sport more.
Yeah, I saw that there was a DeSoto Gun Club driving into.
Yeah, and they got a nice gun shop here too. That any kind of equipment or stuff like that, and a lot of guys, I guess they sell the stuff there to make the stuff. Yeah, that's
all right. Well, I'm just saying, just so I realized later that you could see this and you get an idea what's going on. And
okay, I'll pick out some things. That,
All right, yeah, pick out whatever you would like. And if you have another roll, I mean, you know, well, there's no problem with...
Yeah, I would like to get it done while you're here.
Yes, sir. All right, just let me just sort of set up things for the copying part. Well, now, that crate-making thing, was that like a, that like a machine-made sort of thing?
A strapping machine, for, you know, the metal strapping that went around it to support it, was relatively simple. They would step on a brake and put the box in there and it had an automatic cutter and cut it off and nail the strapping on. It was routinely done, but it wasn't mass scaled. It was an individual that operated the machine and tacked on the sides and did it all. But they would buy the parts by the boxes, you know, separate, and then just piece them together. So I guess some crate company probably produced the parts, and then they would just mantle them, together, just like you would any other box or anything like that. Like, the only difference was it would have panels on it and have strapping on it to give it support, rough handling, because they were handled rather roughly. But I would think that there are some still around here. However, now they're used and sold in antique stores at Old Farm. decorative pieces in homes where you nail one to the wall or something like that, and just put like a drawer or something like that, and maybe a...
Well, with your connections here, having, you know, had an antique place yourself, do you think there's any chance of locating one of those crates in any condition whatsoever?
Yeah, I would think maybe even Sorrow Brothers would have some.
Yeah, and I don't mean just that, and again, you know, it's just because where we're coming from here with this whole thing. Not if there is one that's just like a blank one, fine, but if there's one that has something on the side, you know, I'm trying to say to identify that it's from DeSoto or from the area. Or
they used to either paint it on there or burn it on there, so, because the boxes were often stolen and used by private people who sold small amounts of them. You would see crates with all kinds of names all over the place, and then sometimes they were painted over the burn in the wood that originally were done. I can call, now you can take those out of there if there's any, if you
I'm just trying to get
possibility of any glare.
No, I'm just trying to get to see if
there's you may not lens. Want to copy those because you're going to take those
yes,
with
sir.
You.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to say, I just focus my thing in here. And just yeah, but I'm just saying that because I'm, in point of fact, what they're looking for in White Springs is for a museum exhibit, then they need to have things there. You know, the physical objects, which is why this...
This is a calendar the Centennial Committee put out this year, remembering the 100th anniversary of the City of Arcadia. I have that negative, I got 10. That's a railroad shop down there by the river, just to place the Seaboard Airline Railroad. That was the crew in the office force, you know, the road gang. That was my picture there on the negative thing. Now, this is Sorrow Brothers. See, that's the old boxes you're talking about right there. Mm-hmm. Around the back, around the side, it said Arcadia.
Yes,
excellent. And they had numbers on them and things of that nature.
Yeah, because they would have the number of the size of the fruit, if I remember. Well, see, what I did was
the pack box did, but not the field crates. The field crates, they would put anything in them, tangerines, grapefruit, oranges, and they were bought and sold to the packing house, or by the packing house, by the field crate, and then they were run through and processed through the packing house and packed by sizes and in different boxes for different kinds of fruit. Now this is class of football team in 1927, Thomas Gaskin. Player in that. See, that's him there when he was a teenager in high school. This is my picture, too. This is mine. You saw that one. This one here. I'll put that right here. These are the last five remaining Civil War veterans. That's barges and dredges on the river when they were phosphating here. About a century. I've got about 10 photographs of similar outlook. Just for a file out of the way, I want to type these men's name down there first. Come on, Bob.
Now, this is the last.
Just to get this.
Howard?
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you too now, just again, so I make sure that I know it. The photograph that shows Velma's father was done by a photographer here in town.
Suggs.
What was his name? Suggs?
Yeah. I've never found in any of the researching of the newspapers, or any of the advertisements or personals about Suggs.
Do you have any other examples of any photographers who were in town and you only know that they were here by
the dates,
by
the paper, and the little notes that...
Studio now open, yeah, Fender and King, I see what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. And I thought I'd Xerox that and this and give it to you.
All right, sir.
And then you could thumb... The dates are on every one of them. I kind of put it in in sequence, but it's not 100% that way. From the location and the dates and everything, I made notes like this. Moore may have bought out the Huffman studio and the Russell studio at different times, because the Huffman studio was at a location where Moore was later, and also Mr. Moore moved to the same address as Russell studio. So I'm having to use some deductions, and they might not be correct.
No, that's all right.
But after Mr. Moore came in there, they weren't both operating very long after that time. So that's when I'm having to piece it together.
Yes,
so it's not.
I know what you're saying. You know the Scruggs or Scruggs man, photographer.
Suggs. Yeah.
Well,
Suggs. S-U-G-G, I believe that. You want me to make you a copy of that story? You got it on tape, but you read it on tape about Mr. Moore recorded source history for half a century, Xerox that part.
All right, sir, I would appreciate that. I was going to ask you on this man, Suggs. We only know that he's existed because his stamp is at the bottom of these older photographs.
Yeah.
Are there any other examples of that you can think of where the stamp is at the bottom, but, you know,
except the ones that I do have information on, but I don't think that any of the others had the names of photographers on it. It was only Suggs.
But you can see why I'm asking that, just to see if there's
anybody.
Oh,
yeah, right. Well, I'm still, every time I can pick up any information from old photographs that we have, or newspaper clippings of ads or notices of anything, if anybody took pictures, even traveling here, I got traveling photographer stopped in here, and he gets jailed and arrested because he was warned not to keep doing it without getting a license. And
he said to do it anyway.
Yeah.
When did Mr. Davenport get these postcards?
1955.
He got these postcards in 1955?
No. I don't know when he got those. Mm-hmm. I'm making asking. I've got to go down there when I take them back to him today.
And what was his name again, sir?
Richard. George K. N.
George K. N.
Judge
K. Oh, oh, and
George,
George
K. E. N. D.
It was his last name, isn't the word end.
E. N. D. is.
And what was the name of his company?
The Floridian Products Corporation.
Floridian Products Corporation, yeah.
And Rattlesnake Division.
Right,
okay, for a reptile science museum open daily. And I've got an advertisement of all the stuff. Here's a spreading fame of Rattlesnake Steak. He was written up magazines all over the world, newspapers.
Time Magazine,
and,
yeah.
In the World's Fair, he had
a girl
dressed in boots made out of rattlesnakes, a jacket.
1931 Time Magazine, yeah.
And shipping out baby alligators, he did that too. That was a big time. Shipping out frogs, frog legs and things like that. This is where they were. The little tubes they found them all in. This is some of the products that they sold. No, that's not the one there. No, this guy, there's a lot of time to handle. There's a leather jacket there and some other stuff. Let me see. There's the
genuine diamondback rattlesnake. Mm-hmm. Have you got that picture?
And Supreme Sauce.
Supreme Sauce?
Yes, I think I have that. If I don't, the photographer downtown has it. Here's a picture of it here.
Yeah, could I make a copy of that if you have a picture of that?
Yeah.
No, they're hungry. I'll give you a sandwich.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the editor to the newspaper's daughter. And at the New York World Fair, she served it up there. And I've got
a
picture
Chicago?
Of her.
33?
That same lady there. That's right.
36 actually.
She had this jacket made of leather. The shoes made of leather. I mean,
rattlesnake. Miss.
And he also produced animal venom. He sold the rattlers. He sold the hides. He sold the back, the bones. And there's pictures of some of the products, snake oil and stuff.
Snake oil? He made snake oil?
Yeah, and I've got a list of the stuff that he... Now this is the little post office that he built and operated as a postmaster in Tampa, right at the foot of Candy Bridge, and her uncle built that. Built by Guy Johnson. He's the one who caught rattlesnakes for us.
Gomez on. Seriously?
And he finally was bitten by a rattlesnake. No.
His middle name is Kenneth. George Kenneth N.
George
Kenneth.
I
went to school with
his son. Cecil Harrell wrote up and down. I got all the material from me. And thanked me for it. Here's the outlet.
Out there catching
Guy Johnson and George N.'s son, Donnie, and Velma went to school with him. Catching them out in the field and put them in that little box that had a sliding cover on it.
This one.
Now here's some of the products.
Not.
Ken rattlesnake with supreme sauce, 100% pure rattlesnake oil, rattlesnake healing ointment, rattlesnake oil liniment, rattlesnake skin, charms, leather novelties, skulls, museum reproductions, rattles, and venom.
Right, the prices. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's him.
This is great. This is 12/27/1934, Friday.
It was during Depression, right during the heart of the Depression.
Yeah, it's an advertisement. Mm-hmm. It says Friday, one day only, on the stage, Texas Jim Mitchell, the only rattlesnake hypnotist in the world. You won't believe us if we tell you, so seeing is believing on stage at 4 p.m.-8:30, no advance, no prices, adults 25 cents, children 10, the star.
Mm-hmm. Jim Mitchell used to have a wild animal farm over here at Sarasota. I remember them when I went over there when he used to play with the leopards and panthers. There's Ian with a skin rattlesnake. Velma's uncle used to catch them by the hundreds, and they would get enough for cooking, and they'd skin them, and they'd cook them out there. And
how do they taste, you know? How does it taste?
It's a little flaky, like fish, a little flaky, and they kind of smoked it, so it had a little smoky fish taste. It came in little cans, about an ounce can, something like that, and it had a gold label on it. I remember it. In fact, my brother used to promote wrestling here, and one weekend he had Jess Willard, the former heavyweight world champion boxer, here to referee the bout, and they fed him rattlesnake meat that night. A lot of interesting stories about it. That was copied by a local boy here who writes.
Here's some success.
From that, this is something more recent here. That's that same place I showed you before they made a two-story building out of those same corner. And then I've got a story about when we used to ship frogs from here. The prairie used to be kind of covered with water. I mean, it was as much water out there as it was land, especially in rain season. And so frogs just grew in abundance there. And a lot of people made their living frog hunting. And they did it mostly at night with lights, you know, that they could see the lights. They'd spear them and put them in sacks.
They'd spear them?
Yeah.
What did the spears look like?
Well, just the long poles, like a pole, you know, like a fishing pole, heavy fishing pole, and had prongs on it, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Who would make those? I mean, would they make
them? They'd make them all locally, yeah. Everything was done locally, except the actual prongs were metal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they would just put them on the end of a pole, a light pole, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just lightly gig them, and they'd bring them in by the crook, right?
Mm-hmm. Croaker sacks, that's
yeah, sack, bags, you know. So he was engaged in all of that business, animal furs and stuff like that, too. He had a museum.
Here in town?
He had a museum in the country. This little old place right here was a museum. And then he moved to Temple in the late 30s, and he had his home next to it, and they cooked it. I don't know where they cooked it, inside this building or outside a little building or what, but Velma's uncle caught the snakes, and it's the story in here about he would keep a record of how many snakes. He would sell them to Ross Allen up there to Silver Springs, too. Snakes were furnished by Guy Johnson, that's our uncle Don Baker, who had collected many hundreds of snakes from museum and other customers scattered all over parts of the country. And there's a lot of stories in here about him, Guy Johnson. He used to milk them for venom, that's what he was doing there, see?
Hi.
Yeah?
Excuse me. But if y'all want to eat something, I feel you'll take me at 3 o'clock.
Okay, you want to leave this one out there so you can copy some of the...
If you want to just push that stuff over the side of the table, if you want to eat that way, rather than have to
move
everything. Right. Just so you have room for a little plate.
Okay.
We'll just have a sandwich. I don't mean to bother y'all.
No,
I told her I'd take her.
We're lost in history here, that's all.
His sister had an operation on her eye last week, and she's not so surprised.
There's more stuff you can pull the other one down there. This was something I meant to take down at Xerox, too.
Oh, that was what I was supposed to do, was take a picture of those things in that book for you.
Oh, no, that's okay. I can Xerox this. Mm-hmm. The only one I was really concerned about is the Likes Brothers.
You can just leave those things over on the side of the table if you want.
They'll
be okay.
They have
nobody
a lot
here but us.
Land and cattle and work with the Kings and the like. I mean, the Kings and the Parkers. Here. And they married into the Kings, the King family. And so, you know, they drove cattle across the state, Tampa and Boca Grande, shipped them to Cuba and South America and things like that. He was, Likes for a big time operators, even before they started buying ships and getting in the meat packing business like they've been in for years.
You know, I guess that the property that Tom Gaskins is on is actually Likes Brothers' property.
I believe that's right. He's a kind of caretaker.
Yeah.
He owns some of the land, but, you know, not a whole lot, probably. But he's wealthy in his own right, so. See, he told me 27% of the third chemical. Has been in operation since the early 20s. His daddy was the one that founded it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's only two brothers, Tom and Jerry. Gerald.
He didn't want to know. Jerry. They call him Gary, Jerry.
Yeah, we really do seem to have a lot of
invented people. I mean, in the sense of having a...
Yeah, we have... The man lived here, invented the rotary mower before World War II, and started using them, city and the county and then the state and then the federal government during the war took over, and he just built them for the government, clearing, airports and things like that, city parks, county parks, state parks, and it was revolutionized the mowing business, the rotary mower, and I've got the original mower that he built. It was built on a Model A chassis.
You mean a picture?
Yeah, the negative in a picture. It was taken by the Moore Studio. And I remember Mr. Bishop building them back there when, you know, I was growing up there. I was a grown man when he was building them. That was in the late 30s and early 40s. I've written on the history of the banks, the churches, and a lot of the businesses. And
well, I don't see, and I'm sure that you already were this. I'm sure you have more than enough stuff to do a book.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. But I didn't want to publish a book until I got the best of what I had, and I had got the... in other words, I wanted to take my time, but I wasn't in no hurry about it. The history can wait. You know, a lot of things can wait. But if you got the material, research material, and you got the photographs, you got the negatives, then the main thing is just taking the time to get it together then after that. Now I'm working on subject by subject, writing articles for the paper. Like this week I've got a story of the black schools in DeSoto County and this type of thing. So I'm doing it piece by piece, and then now I'm trying to get different people in the historical side interested in developing what I can furnish some research material on. So let them do some of it, you know, and just they can add to some of it because they're involved, the families are involved in some of the businesses I'd be writing about. So they can take what I've got that they don't know about and add to what they've got.
Yeah, and go from there.
And then the more people you got involved in it, working it as a community project and as a group, I think. And we've got a lot of educators in there. I mean, retired school teachers, administrators, and some who are not retired that are still in education. So we've got a good, that's it there. Now, they did me wrong when they printed that article because the best picture was this one here. And it didn't even show all the front. That's the old Model A chassis that it was on. And it ran off of a belt, and it had three cut blades under there that doesn't even show, see? So that would have been the best shot of all. That's the one I prized the most. These are some that they developed later. This is a disc here that was cutting up palmetto, things like that. But he did that right in a building right downtown there. This man, he was a city councilman for numbers of years.
Oh, is this the grocery store that's down in Ankeny? General store?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's...
Oh, no, that's the Fort Augur you're talking about.
The Fort Augur?
It's further down. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't Ankeny. Her cousin of hers ran that store. He was bitten by a rattlesnake and died too. You know, there's a lot of people been that if I'd have thought about a lot of subjects, I could have just made collections of people who were bitten and died by rattlesnakes. Hmm. See, back in the... When land was being, before it was being developed wholesale, earlier than the Depression, well, from the Depression back, there was a lot of palmettos, a lot of scrub. There was an awful lot of snakes in the woods. The rattlesnakes were on higher ground, and the moccasins were on...
is a tape. Yeah, just come on, tape. Tape number 5, 19 January 87. This is still Howard and Velma Melton. Yes, sir.
This is some of the earliest photographs that were in the Charles A. Moore studio files that had been stored since 1955 when Dick Davenport bought out the old Moore studio. Some of them go back a lot of part of the century. This particular one was a parade downtown on Oak Street in 1900 when all the buildings except the First National Bank building, the Seward building, let me see, there's one other building that was block, brick, and all of it burned down except those
brick buildings?
Yeah, right around here, around Oak Street. In 1904, December 4th, 1904, 1930. November 3rd, 1904. Now, some of these pictures cannot be verified as to the exact date, but they're in the late 1890s.
Mm.
This is one you saw of a drug in Gaskins. Had a
cash store,
which
dry goods,
probably was dry goods,
grocery.
Maybe groceries and seeds and fertilizer, maybe like that. And Carlton, some of the stores are listed here. The R.E. Witten store, the Gaskin dry goods and groceries, the drug store. I'm not sure who ran the drugstore, was Jake Way or whether it was Dr. Green, who was a physician also. And there's other C.C. Pierce, Livery Stable, that Jake Way drugstore was there then. And W. Daniels grocery store, Mr. Daniels had a wholesale grocery store after this. He built another part of town, and later he had a wholesale grocery store where Chris Billings supplies now is in Monroe. This is a picture of downtown Arcadia with all the frame buildings, 1980s. Arcadia Mercantile store here. Let's see here, you can read the sign. Also, the L.L. Morgan, who was an early pioneer merchant, so he can't. This is another photo taken around 1900.
But is this the same photograph as this?
Yes.
This is done dark. This one is light. You can only see this. Yeah, that second one, you can't see that detail. You can't see the figures.
But Arcadia Mercantile store was here for many, many years. And before the fire and after the fire. This looks like an old western town.
Yeah.
It was built similarly with two-story building. A lot of times the building, the business were downstairs, and room and board upstairs, or in some cases a storeroom or offices. I believe the same pictures that on there. And some of these are duplicates of the same one. There's some early pictures there. I think these were orange pictures. It seemed like I got some information that some of the pictures were. There's a ox cart with about four pairs of oxen pulling hauling oranges. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And this was taken in 1913. That's even dated there.
That's right. Well, this one you can date
this
by the
signs. This is downtown also on West Oak Street. There's a railroad coming across there. That's prior to the fire of 1904. That's some of the same ones. Now this picture here you've seen another picture like this where I told you that this man here had been identified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a picture taken by itself in front of the store, taken at the same time. Because the man on the horse is the same one that's in the picture here. Well, this picture by itself, when I got some. This was taken downtown on mm-hmm. Oak Street in the teens or early 20s when the First National Bank building, which is now a gold dome, had a dome, actual dome on top of it. But that was removed sometime in the early 20s, before I even came to Arcadia. Some of these pictures have not been properly identified. You see, now this is the one I'm telling you about. There's a boy on the horse, just like it was here where the two buildings were shown together.
Mm-hmm.
The horse and the one seems to be the same one with a hat and everything.
What is this in his hand? Is that long? Is he hauling something or pulling another?
I don't know. There's mm-hmm. not any indication of what he did have. It could have been a wagon or something.
Yeah, just another person.
No, but that's all. But they were taken at the same time. That's an old street scene downtown there, but I've got some prints that's better than that one.
Well, we'll just
and that was from a newspaper. I don't have all the that's originals. Right. I know who those are. They've been identified by one of our citizens there. That's a mechanized water wagon. A gasoline carrier. I'm not sure what it is. One of the early ones where mm-hmm. they had solid rubber tires on them. One of the early automobiles.
It's a black woman, I know. Thank you. Yes. A black man.
Mm-hmm. This is the location of the Century 21 real estate office of George Smith downtown on DeSoto Avenue and Oak Street. This is the downtown section of Arcadia after it was burned in 1905. I believe I said 1904. It was December 30th, 1905. That was Thanksgiving Day. There's the two different scenes. There's some more scenes here, a little different. This was the paper that was printed the next day, not in Arcadia, but in Zolfo, by the newspaper there, tell about the fire and the businesses that were destroyed, completely destroyed, including the DeSoto County News, which printed this paper, had this proof, and another newspaper. There was two newspapers with all their files completely destroyed. So our lack of newspaper information is very scarce back of 1905 before the fire, because
that's
all
right.
the files were destroyed.
That's right.
The only ones that we've been able to locate, including these, have been in the homes of individuals who had them, collected mm-hmm. them, see? But we got some of the information from some of the legal ads. I know here it tells about the Florida Baptist Children's Home, a change in their election of the board, and tax information and wills and so forth that were printed in that little paper. This is some more of the list of the people who lost their business in the fires. About 43 businesses, I believe, that were listed there that were either completely or almost completely destroyed by fire. And even had some advertisement. You know, those who had set up business or were not affected by the fire. Someone, there's a fire sale there in this stop there, bookstore, book and stationery store. There's some were legal ads in there. But that was all it was to the paper that next day, but they didn't have the paper. And there's some more close-ups of the fire of all downtown buildings. That was the bank building that survived. That's an extra copy there. Would you care about any of that? Would that be of any help to you?
Well, since it's the fire, yes, I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, that could help you. Care about mm-hmm. an extra one.
That's amazing.
You see, there were just two of them.
Yeah, but
three, four.
Do you have the full thing? Don't give me anything that you don't have the
one,
full
thing.
One, two. You don't have the full thing. Mm-hmm. Is it back to back? Is that a
no? let me give you the incomplete one, or else I can Xerox this tomorrow. I'll Xerox tomorrow and give you the thing. I don't have a copy. That was just a used car lot. That building's still standing there on Southbrook Avenue, and this building's still standing. That's the Channel Insurance Agency, and this is the Mercer's Men's Western Wear, or Western Wear, Mercer's Western. That's the display window of the Chevrolet garage, new cars, about 1932, it looks like, 32 model. This was an old garage, some of the old automobiles on Magnolia Street and DeSoto Avenue. That's the location of the present Arcadia Glass Company in there now. This building on South Polk has been destroyed. This is the L.D. Harley building, which is now the Channel Insurance Agency. And this was the car, used car lot you saw in the previous building. That's the Mercer's Western Men Winner. This was the effect of the storm of 1926 on West Hickory Street at the railroad track and DeSoto Avenue, when the Sunny South Packing House was across the railroad track from it, blew down the station and garage. You see the gas tanks with their hand pumps there. Badcock Furniture Company is now located there. These are some school pictures in the 20s of some of the students who are still living around here. These are some of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in a swim meet out at the Ryan Swimming Pool south of town when the Ryan Swimming Pool was
still open.
One of the great recreational places to go to in DeSoto County when there were weren't any private swimming pools in any of the homes. The community swimming pool was owned by D.C. Ryan and then Carl Ryan and his family and for many years. And it was they had swimming meets there. And this was a group of the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. I was telling the girl that's holding the flag there that it was our historical meeting the other day. I told her, I said, you know, I got a picture of you at the old Ryan swimming pool, and you were with the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. There were some of the winners among the Boy Scouts. These are all boys younger than I am, but I know every one of them. They're all listed out here. Sonny Carl and Edie Treadwell. I'll tell you about Doug Treadwell, Jr. That's the Doug Treadwell III. George Leitner, his dad was a lawyer as well as his. Sonny Platt was, his dad was a deputy sheriff. His mother's still living here. Sonny Carlton from an old pioneer family. And Billy Smith, he's living in Jacksonville now. This is Danny Ebersole. His daddy owned the Arcadia newspaper for many years here. Danny lived in St. Petersburg now. There's more pictures of the Boy Scouts.
The torn van?
There's one of the vans that was used by the Boy Scouts of South Florida. There's when they made a tour to Hollywood and saw one of the movie stars there, but that was out of the newspaper, so that's not original. There's a picture of some of the Boy Scouts and girls. I believe these are all Boy Scouts in front of the theater film. Troop 24.
Has this been flipped? This photograph? The flag of the United States wouldn't run that way, it would run the other way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or is that right? Because then Troop 24 would be backwards. The letters would be backwards. They must have hung the flag up that way.
I can't tell if that's backwards or not.
Well, it can't be backwards because
no, it couldn't be.
Because the letters would be
on the negative side. The letter.
They just must have hung the flag that way.
They hung the flag backwards, didn't they?
I think so, isn't it? Don't you hang it with
well,
the stars?
Actually,
stars
if the wind's blowing that way, it'd blow that way. If it was this way, it'd blow this way. So I don't know.
When you look straight onto a flag, don't you look so that the stars are on the left? from a viewer's point of view.
If it's steel,
yes, sir.
Or if it's tack,
that's hung, yeah.
Yeah, same to me.
Because it's supposed to be on the left side of the room. It's supposed to be like on the left or the right side. And I don't know.
Now this is a picture of
the Ryan swimming pool.
Both after the two-story addition was torn down. In the back here, mm-hmm. there were. I don't know what they were used for, but there was a dressing room down below here, but there was a two-story addition up here above that. But this was a large Olympic-type style swimming pool. It wasn't just a family style. It was a large pool. It opened in the 20s. This
clipping.
That's from 48, but that must have been when it reopened. Reopened, yeah, for the season. But it opened in 1920, June of 1920, mm-hmm. official opening. It was called the Eureka Swimming Pool in the name of Mr. Ms. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But we always referred to it, and it was called the Ryan Swimming Pool.
Yeah.
In most of its usefulness. Now, in recent years, say in the 40s, late 40s and 50s, I believe it was the another family, the Forbes family, bought it, and they removed a lot of the buildings around here, the dressing room, that's right. Now, there was a park out there where you could have picnics and gatherings and things like that, barbecue, and they often had groups. These others are just political groups or Eastern Star groups,
mm-hmm.
are baseball. This is a baseball team just made up of people out of Fort Ogden. Now, back in those days, in the 30s, each community, Nocatee, Fort Ogden, Brownville, they would have men out of that community of all ages, from grade school through people in the 30s and 40s, as long as they were able to play baseball, they would come together in community, and if we didn't have transportation, we'd walk from one community to another, several miles,
just to
play
ball.
And these are just some pictures here of kindergartens and various groups, Red Cross. That's prior to World War I. These are cemetery Oddfellers. Was they had a mound, Woodman of the World, rather, WW. These were when all the blind people of Soda County were awarded these white canes by some of the civic and political leaders and school officials of the county. This picture was published in the paper, and there's the article.
Mm-hmm.
The article was published, but not the picture. So what I do is take the old
articles.
Pictures and mm-hmm. put the articles with them, and hopefully someday we'll have a book published.
Just
with
that stuff, that's right. That's the way to go.
Because back, like I mentioned, in those days, a weekly paper couldn't afford a large photograph unless you paid for the photograph. Mm-hmm. It would cost you at least $5 to send it off to Tampa, have it put on a mounted mm-hmm. on a chock of wood. Remember?
Yeah,
you remember
I know.
Those?
Yes, sir. Electrotypes.
Okay, and then by the time you got it in the local paper,
it was long gone.
The news was dead. But the politicians would often do that, and so that's the reason you got more politicians picture in the old weekly papers than you do anything else. This picture of an old Dakota National Bank building. It was originally built as a hotel. This was the entrance to the hotel, and this was the entrance to the bank. And then these were the rooms upstairs. This later was turned into a drugstore here. I worked in that drugstore for many years, Arcadia Drugstore.
Who's Mr. George, do you know?
No, I didn't know that because that was way before my time. I don't know Mr. Curley or Mr. George, but I never remember when it was a hotel. It was always a bank and dentist office and doctor's office mm-hmm. up here from 29 until the time it was torn down in about 1974 it was torn down. And this is just more. This was after remodeled and mm-hmm. completely covered on the outside with aluminum siding. Some of that aluminum siding is on the Church of the Nazarene then, some of the annex, some of that's exciting. It never needs painting or repairing. This, some of the other banks that used to be in DeSoto County. This originally was the first bank in DeSoto County, and it was built, made of lumber.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some pictures from old newspaper clipping. There it is there. When it was
all out of wood.
When it was all wood in all the buildings.
1907, yeah.
But the man that, it was called the J.J. Meyer Building then, but it was built originally by Mr. Peters. I'm not sure of his initials, but he owned the rail trolley that was pulled by a mule and driven by Billy Bowlegs the second down Main Street from what they call Coon Prairie, which is now where Walmart Shopping Center is, down to the river. The river, there was a general store down there. There was a sawmill down there. And they also did phosphating on the river. So the river was a lot of the business and industrial activity. So Mr. Peters built this bank, and the trolley always stopped there. And it always stopped at the river where the sawmill was. Mr. Peters owned the sawmill too. So Mr. Peters had a big eye for business. Now,
seems so.
He's got a granddaughter, or great-granddaughter, that lives here now. She was our rodeo queen, first all-around cowgirl, Peggy Stonebreaker. Again, the Stonebreaker name comes in. This building burned.
There it is.
Fire in 1974.
It's too bad.
And there, nothing is there right now on that part, but this part right here, there's an antique, Townsend Antique Store, but there's just a concrete pavement there. There's other pictures of it when it burned. I'm just gutting. And this part here was salvage, and that's where the antique shop is now. That's the downtown First National Bank building that was built in 1900, so it survived the fire of 1905, taken about 1900 after it was built. This was some of the statements of the bank and all that. This rest of this book is stories about other banks in Arcadia. I have written a history of all the banks in DeSoto County and the bankers that we had. Banks not only in Arcadia, but we had them at Fort Ogden, had them at Zolfo. Small communities had them then, back then. Almost as plentiful as they were country schools, you know, every little community.
Had its own bank.
Had its own bank, or many of the communities had banks. But this man here, Charles A. Moore, whose son, one son, Alfred, is still living down in Colorado, and I've had numbers of correspondence with him. I've got numerous letters from him telling me how much he appreciates
pulling all this stuff together, sure.
I tell you what, I haven't really got ready place here, but for this, I can't do it better. Just taking so many out of place.
Well, sir, let me leave so that I can come back in the morning and take those photos. And
I'll try to get down there and back from New York City and get these Xerox. And then if you're not pleased with the Xerox, you can...
All right, sir. Whatever seems the best.
Think of anything else that I might be able to show you that I haven't showed you, then you might have some information on.
No, what I'll do is I'll think about the stuff in the morning, and while I'm driving here, we'll just go over it, and you know.
Okay.
Because I'll have to go around and contact people and stuff. And
who is it there?
Sir?
They referred you to me.
I read an article about you.
Did you see it?
Yes, sir.
What was that?
Yeah, I'll show you.
I always ask that question. I was late getting an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. That was in color, too. Yeah, we had a little museum down there for about 6 months downtown. And I had a real fun because I could lay it out, show everybody anything they wanted to. George Lane. Did you get to see George?
No.
Well, he's, we're not in competition, but he and I aren't on the best of term because he feels that I got more stuff in our part of hell that I don't share with him. And I'm working with the other newspaper, so naturally I don't give him everything I have. Or if he had been trying to purchase it, or purchase my time as the other paper had, I would have been as generous with him, but he wants to borrow, or wants me to give him stuff, and I have helped him out publish his book, but I don't want to give him the same benefits that the other paper gets, because they do pay me. They paid me now for over 2 years, send a check every month, whether I write anything for them or not. They just use me as a resource person.
Yeah.
I mean, if they, like they needed something on the Black history this coming week,
Yeah. Then
they didn't have enough in their files to write, and they would have to hire a man to do all the research, and since I had it here,
they just tell
me what they wanted, and they tell me what they'd like for next week and the following week, so I just supply them. I don't always write the articles. A lot of time I'll just furnish the research material or the photographs, and let them pick out what they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assume to do one or the other because they don't pay me any more if I write it out like I did the article I showed you. So the main thing is people are getting to use the material, and I want them to. That's the reason I'm doing it.
Well, the other thing I want to suggest to you is that you keep this paper. This is me, but you, let me do this. This is the office up in White Springs. And this woman, Mary Belan, is the project director for this thing. And Mary's going to be there forever. Mary's never going to leave. Mary's a lifer.
Is she from there?
She's not born from there, no, but she's lived in White Springs now, I think, 15 or 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary's there forever. So the reason I'm... today is January the 20th, 1987. I'm sitting in some park here in Arcadia. When you come in off the road heading into town, I just pull into it so I can drink some coffee. It's like 8:30 in the morning. I'm supposed to meet Howard Milton at 9. I'm going to let this tape run out. This was from yesterday. And I'm going to start up a new tape for my conversations with him today. Goodbye. This was, yesterday was the fifth tape, I think. January 19th, 1987, Arcadian, and it was with Harold and Velma Milton.